Any of you ever had to work on a Sunday? Amen. Well, I'm going to be dealing with the Sabbath day a bit here today, but my focus is not the Sabbath day. My focus is simply about doing good, about doing good. And so I've titled the message Doing Good Every Day, because the Jews of Jesus' day had made an idol of sorts out of the Sabbath. It wasn't that they worshiped it as much as they let it rule them in ways that God would never have had it to. And thus they mistreated one another because of it. And they did it so much so that they condemned the Savior of the world because he, in their eyes, broke the Sabbath, and that repeatedly. You remember oftentimes it says, as in it was the Sabbath day, and Jesus went into the synagogue. And for the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, and all so forth, Jesus was always doing something that got in the crawl, got stuck in their crawl, and that got them all up in their emotions and all, you know, all up in their feelings and everything. And, you know, Jesus hasn't changed. Huh? To the religious, hey, he'll come up into your house and get you feeling all uncomfortable and all beside yourself. You, what's going on? I thought Jesus was supposed to be the man, love everybody and all this. No, Jesus said, I come to bring a sword to some homes. That's what he said. Well, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses. I'm not going to teach on verses 1 through 4. Or even 7, but I'm going to be starting in verse 9, but the first 8 verses lend context, right? So Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1 starts, and at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Because every Sabbath the priests are in the temple working, and yet you're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. But it was necessary for them to work. Amen. And that they're blameless. Verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. My God, I love that. He's Lord of the Sabbath. That's such good news. I'll say why a little bit later. I believe I will. Or maybe I'll say it now. We'll see. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. I like that. He went into their synagogue. Amen. See, when you come in my house, you respect my laws and the way I do things. Jesus went into their synagogue and didn't respect anything that they did. And Jesus is the same day. When he come into this house, No. He's not respecting the way I was doing it, because this house is no longer mine. It's his house. And their synagogue became his synagogue. Why? Because he's God. Well, you know, and we're quick to think to ourselves, well, you know, the Jews were messed up. But come on, let's go back a little bit. Hey, let's see if any of us had any of this in our past. Now, I grew up Baptist. Hey, look here. And I say this because we need to be careful, because often we have some of the same tendencies as the religious folk of that day. I was not allowed to cut grass on Sundays. Anybody, can I get a witness? Amen. You with me? Okay. I remember one day, I remember like it's yesterday, my middle sister was in the bedroom. We're getting ready to go to church. I have my my grandfather on my mother's side was a Baptist pastor. I had four uncles, four of her brothers who were Baptist pastors. So we got pastors running the family. So one day we're getting ready for church, and my sister was in the room ironing out her clothes and everything. And I ran up in there just as religious as I could be, unsaved, but wholly religious, and said, what are you doing ironing on a Sunday? And she turned around. Don't you mess with a woman when she's getting her beauty together, fellas. Let me tell you that right now. You leave them alone. When they getting it right, let them get it straight. And she turned around, leaning to me, why don't you leave me alone? I'm trying to get my clothes together there. I was like, ooh, okay, okay. So that, yeah, my bad. That religious stuff didn't work there. Understand? You weren't supposed to wash your car on Sundays. Where we grew up, we didn't, listen, my grandmother didn't cook on Sundays. Hello? No, they cooked the food on Saturday, warm it up on Sunday. In other words, cooking was against the Sabbath, but warming it up in the same pan that you were cooking, that's forbidden. Huh? And we knocking the Jews. And we said, ooh, those Jews are really, no, we got some of the same practices. We have some of the same things. Some Christians feel like it's a sin if they work on a Sunday. Ever been there? Oh, yeah. Been there. Oh, yeah. Some people feel like, well, I really can't. Where in the New Testament does it say you can't work on a Sunday? It doesn't. A few years back, the church gave me a few months off. And Pastor Moses was so wonderful to come and preach for about 2 or 3 months. And I was off. Glory to God. I didn't have to preach every Sunday, you know. And so I was relaxing. I was here and enjoying the ministry of the word and so forth. And one day in my business, I got a call from a hotel in Washington, D.C. And they said, we'd like for you to come down and give us an estimate. Well, I won the bid and got there. And they said, well, we want it done on the weekends. And I knew this was a 8-story hotel. And I had one employee. And so that meant we weren't going to get it done on Saturdays. So we had to work a Sunday. And I remember, you know, getting my truck ready and everything going Sunday. And I felt that religious twinge, you know, just, you know, you know, here you off, you know, God done blessed you with someone who can minister for you on Sundays. And you going in a hotel. And I said, bless the Lord on my soul. I sure am. Fell right on up in there, started up my machine and got down. That's right. I said, ain't no religious spirit getting on me. Hello, I'm free in the New Testament. Read Romans chapter 14. Hello, it'll fix it for you. And I went on up in there, got that work done, and collected my check and said, thank you, Father. Now, the scripture reads and says, now when he departed from there, in Matthew 12:9, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? They weren't interested in anybody being healed. What they were interested in was accusing Jesus. Hello. So he was questioned by those who opposed him with evil intent. However, Jesus is the embodiment of all that is good. In Mark's gospel, it reads this way. He entered the synagogue again, and there was a man who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, step forward. Then Jesus said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And so what we see, what Jesus does is he elevates the conversation. They said, is it is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus asked them a question and said, is it good? Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Well, we know that not only on the Sabbath, on any day, it's wrong to kill. On any day, it's wrong to do evil. So it's wrong to do evil. It's wrong to kill on the Sabbath day. Therefore, the opposite is true. It is good to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then Jesus presents an illustration of what is good to do on the Sabbath. And it's undeniably clear in his illustration. In verse 11 of Matthew 12, we read, then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and pull it out? And no one responded to him. You know why? Because all of them agreed that, well, of course. Yeah, of course. If my sheep fell in a pit, a sheep can die in a pit. A sheep could break his neck, break a leg. All kinds of things could happen to a sheep when it falls into a pit. Sabbath day, non-Sabbath, doesn't matter what it is. You stop, you get the sheep out of the pit. Well, Jesus has this man standing in their midst with a withered arm. Withered all, it's withered, it's drawn up. He can't even stretch his arm out. It's all withered in. And Jesus said, well, we'll get to that in a second. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10 reads, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. A righteous man regards the life of his animal. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. In other words, a person who fears God is going to take care of what God gives them, their animal. Jesus is drawing a distinction here. If you're going to take care of an animal, obviously, you're going to take care of a human being who was made in the image of God, right? Of course, now, I'm going to tell you, though, I got a customer who told me her cat, she says, when I die, my cat, they sell everything, and the whole estate goes to my cat. I'm looking around. I'm like, where he at? Where he at? I seen him. She said, yeah, that one right there. That one gets everything. I'd never heard of anything like that before. My father, I thought, good heavens. I need to get on the short list on that rascal, because I don't know how long that cat going to make it. But she's being good to her animal. Now, if the life of an animal is regarded by the righteous, how much more the life of one made in the image of God? But wicked men do not regard the life of their animals. How much more wicked are the Pharisees and those who do not regard the lives of their fellow man? Because they didn't want Jesus to heal this man. Why? Because it's the Sabbath. They weren't really concerned with Sabbath keeping. They didn't like the fact that Jesus could heal and they couldn't. And we don't want you doing it on any day, but now we're really going to get you on the Sabbath. It would be cruel to leave an animal in a pit on the Sabbath, according to the teaching of the Jews. And so what Jesus is drawing here, the distinction is that the urgency of the moment requires action. How many times, when you meet someone, see someone different than you, believes differently than you, how many times do we as believers treat someone different and think twice about helping somebody because, well, we've even done it with this whole political thing. Christians are letting political ideologies divide the church. And because you do it this way, and that's not the way I want to do it, I'm not going to love you with the love of Christ. Hello?
Hello?
What Jesus is getting after here is how they're treating, how the Pharisees are treating this man. You would treat an animal better than you would treat your brother. Hello? But the urgency of the moment requires action. God did not institute a law that kept his people from loving and caring one for another. And yet these men have no sympathy. They have no tenderness of their own heart. Matter of fact, Mark's gospel says this. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, Jesus was grieved, and it made him angry, because these men who were looking at their fellow Jewish brother with an arm shriveled up that he couldn't even use it, and they were saying, well, we don't care about that. We just want what we want. And that selfishness on full display. And we're seeing that same thing tear up the church. Brothers against brother. It's an awful thing. God help us. And so Jesus has this man in the midst, and he's making this contrast. Well, Proverbs 3 and verse 27 and 28 reads this way. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. And so Jesus has this man standing in the midst. He has a withered arm, and the Pharisees are saying, don't heal him. Don't heal him. The scripture says, do not withhold good from someone when it is in your power to do them good. Jesus has in his hands the power to do this man good, and the Pharisees are saying no. Why? Because of some obscured interpretation of the law that allows them to be selfish and hateful. So it says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it you when you have it with you. This is the scripture, by the way, that changed me years ago when people would say, I would be in discussion with someone, and I'll never forget the day that it changed because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The person said, pray for me. I said to someone, I'll pray for you. And the Holy Ghost said, pray right now. Pray right now. And then the Holy Ghost let me know why I should pray right now. He said, because you know you. You know you. You're going to forget. So pray right now. So now when I tell people I'm going to pray for them, guess what? I can go, let's pray right now. Amen. And we pray. And not leave it up to the fog, you know, of getting older. And, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I forgot. No. It's in my power to do you good right now. So don't say, I'll do it later. Tomorrow, come, I'll give it to you. No, get it done now. So Jesus stands this man in the midst, and they're, you know, harping all over. It's the Sabbath day. You can't heal. Is it right to do? All they want to do is accuse him from doing good. Never mind the fact, the scripture says that we're not to work on the Sabbath day. Let me ask you a question. What type of work is this? Because this is what Jesus did. Stretch out your hand. And the man with the withered hand that he couldn't stretch out, but he just, and it grew out and it came out. Would you tell me which is more work, that or pulling a sheep up out of a pit? Come on. Which one is more work? And they're saying, no, Jesus, you can't do it. You can't work on the Sabbath. He said, let them not come on the Sabbath be healed. Let them come on any other day and be healed. No, they can't. No, the only time they're going to get healed is when Jesus is in the temple. I don't know what you're talking about. What you talking about? The only time is going to when Jesus is doing it, because y'all can't heal a fly. So not to heal the man would have been withholding good from and doing evil on the Sabbath. to not do the good that was available for Jesus to do to him would in fact be doing evil. The Pharisees couldn't see that. They forbade him from doing so on the Sabbath. But you're talking to God. And like I said, he does not ask permission. Hello. Amen. I love this. The Sabbath, Jesus said this, the Sabbath was not made for man. Huh? Or rather, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Okay? So, man was not made to serve the Sabbath or to be under its influence, but the Sabbath was made for man in order to give man rest. Why? Because we are so crazy in our work, in our thinking that we're going to provide for ourselves, we're going to do it all. God said, no. You know, the Sabbath was the sign of the Mosaic Covenant. It was a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. However, the day of rest was instituted at creation. Those are two different things. Some people teach the day of rest did not pass away when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, because it was instituted at creation. On the seventh day, in 6 days, God created the earth. On the seventh day, he rested. He ended his works. He was done. Okay. But when the children of Israel ratified the covenant with God in Exodus chapter 20, God said on the fourth commandment is, you shall keep my Sabbath. Okay, keep the Sabbath day, for it is holy. And that was the sign between the Jews and their God. But the day of rest had already existed. What's interesting about the Sabbath, it was that there was a penalty associated with it. If you didn't keep the Sabbath, you remember Numbers chapter 15, a man went out gathering sticks on the Sabbath. I guess he's going to cook himself something. Now here's what you need to remember. Okay, this is the story of when they found this man gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and the people reported it to Moses, and Moses went and told God, and God said, get everybody together and take him outside the camp and stone him to death. And folk get all up in the field and say, oh, my God, wait a minute. How could God do such a thing? What on earth was that? The man just trying to get little sticks, get something to eat, brother hungry. You know what I'm saying? Folks saying. But do you remember what the context of Numbers 15? The context of from Exodus 12, when they came out of Egypt, all the way through the book of Deuteronomy to the book of Joshua, there was a cloud over the tabernacle by day, fire over it by night, manna falling every day. When they complained, God blew in quail so they could eat meat. They were getting water from a rock. And look, everything was provided for. Also, when the manna fell on the 6 days, on the sixth day, God would rain down twice as much manna as on any other day, so that on the Sabbath, you wouldn't have to go out to gather the bread. So when this man went out on the Sabbath, he was disobeying and rejecting the revelation that God had given of himself, that I have given you enough. Therefore, he was rejecting God. That's why his life was taken. Because if any of us disobey God by not receiving Jesus Christ, the bread of life, hello, the same thing would happen, right? So that was the penalty associated with the Sabbath. But nowhere in the scripture will you find a penalty associated with the day of rest. The day of rest. So when you and I get up and go to work, God gives us everything we need. He gives us everything we need. Everything that we are able to produce by the labor of our own hands, we understand and recognize that it comes from God. What is it? 2 Chronicles 29. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given you. All things come of thee. Baptist Church, we sang it every week. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Amen. So God is providing even though we're working. God is the one who's providing. And because we trust God, we can rest on the seventh day. And you say, Well, Pastor, my job requires me to work on Sunday. What do you say to that? I said, well, glory to God. Glory to God. When you get in there and work, work to the glory of God. Because we're not under the law. We're not under the law. There's no penalty associated with working on a Sunday, other than the fact you can be tired on Monday. But, hey, you're going to sleep good. Amen. So, no. If you have to work, go to work. Jesus worked. Of course, it was just stretch out your hand. Amen. So what was Jesus showing here? He was showing that Jesus didn't say to them when they said it is unlawful what your disciples are doing in verses 1 through 4. Jesus didn't say, no, it's not unlawful. He said, no, haven't you read? In other words, he explained what happened when David actually broke the law and was not penalized. He violated it. And Jesus explained how the priests violate the Sabbath every Sabbath day and are guiltless. And what was the stipulation? Well, Jesus said, let me read it again in Matthew chapter 1. It says, and at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. They began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat. Well, here's the thing. They weren't reaping the grain field. Brothers are trying to get lunch. You understand? Hey, it would have been sinful to go out there and get your sickle and start chopping it down, packing it up, and taking it into the barn. But, bro, if you're a little hungry and you just need it, can I just get pop something in my mouth, get a little lunch? That's all they were after. And the Pharisees like, oh, no. I mean, they were right, technically. I mean, every T crossed and I dotted. Exodus 20 says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your female servant, nor your male servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, or made it holy. And so no work was to be done. But the disciples are walking through the field, rubbing some grains together, popping it in their mouth. And the Pharisees got a problem with that. But when the Pharisees' sheep over here fell into a ditch, they're out there with the ropes and everything going on the Sabbath day. Come on, man. Hey, you come on. Get so-and-so. You got to pull this thing up out the ditch. But they can't rub some grain together, pop it in their mouth. Come on now. One commentary said, David among the Jews had high authority. This act had passed uncondemned. David went and ate showbread, church. He ate showbread. Look, you read Leviticus and Numbers, and God told the Aaron, the priesthood, and the Levites, if anybody comes near the tabernacle, the penalty is death, period. No questions. You know? David goes and eats the showbread, gives it to some of his men. God didn't kill him. It proved that in cases of necessity, the laws did not bind a man. In cases of necessity, you need to get the sheep out? Yes. Does this brother need his arm healed? You better believe he does. Yeah. Does that sister need her heart healed? Yes. The woman with the issue of blood was breaking and violating the law. If you had an issue the way she should have never been in a crowd. She could have been killed outside the camp. She was, oh my goodness. And she's up in there crawling after Jesus, and she touches the hem of his garment. He didn't turn around and say, I condemn you, you dirty thing. No. Your faith has made you whole. Come on now. That was the position of Jesus. So the necessity of the disciples justified them doing on the Sabbath what would have been otherwise unlawful. Okay? So, one commentary said this, the Jews were so superstitious concerning the observance of the Sabbath that in their wars with Antiochus Epiphanes and the Romans, They thought it a crime even to attempt to defend themselves on the Sabbath.
They're in a war.
People coming at you with weapons going to kill you, and you saying, oh, it's the Sabbath day. Let's rest. He goes on and he says this. When their enemies observed this, they deferred attacking the Jews. They waited till the Sabbath to issue their attack. Because the Jews said to them, it's a sin. It's a sin. Hello. Come on. It says it was through this that Pompey was enabled to take Jerusalem. I didn't say that. Adam Clark's commentary said that. My, my, my. So Jesus goes on in Matthew 12:12, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, he comes to his conclusion, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And it was restored as whole as the others. Now watch this. To add irony upon, just insanity. The insanity of just religious thought. Listen at this verse 14. Then the Pharisees, after Jesus heals the man, the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. On the Sabbath day, Jesus just said, is it okay to do evil or to do good? To save life or to kill? And they on the Sabbath day are planning to kill the Savior of the world. And yet they telling him, no, you can't work, but we're going to work to kill you on the Sabbath day. Hello. Now, when we look at that there, we have to be careful that we also let that, it's like looking in a mirror. Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't come all this way to lead us with the Jews. No. We have got to turn this thing and look at that and say, okay, Jesus, where am I in there? Because I know I'm in there somewhere. I know I'm in there. Come on. Saul, remember in Acts chapter 9, they were killing Stephen and they came and laid their clothes down at the feet of one Saul. And they thought that they were doing God a service by killing one of God's servants. Paul would later change as Christ held up to him the light, and he saw what he looked in that mirror and saw the truth of his own ways. And so we have to I can simply say, I don't agree with abortion. But yet, on the other hand, and which would represent all these sides we got, right, left, Republican, this, that, and the other. But I don't agree on the other side. We're killing everybody else. And just people just dying, and we got policies and all this kind of thing. And so some people say, well, who are you for? You take a side. Let me tell you. I'm like Joshua chapter 5. Hey, Joshua was standing there getting ready to go into Jericho. And as this man comes and peers over beside him with a long, big old sword. And Joshua walks up to him and says, are you for us? Are you for them? He says, neither. I said, oh, my God. Woo! He says, but as the captain of the Lord's host, I have now come. And guess what Joshua did? Joshua made quick. He took his shoes off, humbled himself, prostrated himself, laid himself down low as he could get. What does my Lord say to his servant? Hey, that's where we have to go, church. That's where we have to be. So we have to see where it is that this fits with us, and we need to allow God. We need to allow that word to penetrate us and to change us and to humble us and not be like these Pharisees who went out because they didn't get it the way they wanted to and plotted to take away Jesus' life and falling absolutely doing the Father's will. So what we notice is this. Jesus' focus was on people. His focus was on the man. Jesus said, is it right to do evil or good, to save life or to kill? And he had this man standing in the midst. The Pharisees, their focus wasn't people. They didn't care about people. He said, look, this is the way we want it. You just don't heal anybody. Don't do it on the Sabbath. Because we want power and we want control over you, Jesus. That's what we want. And they ultimately got it because God gave it to them. Because God gave it to them in allowing them to crucify his son. So let's be careful. The Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic covenant I said earlier. And yet, Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Why? Why did Jesus say that? Because when Jesus said that, the Sabbath was on its way out. Hello? The Mosaic covenant was on its way out. The Davidic covenant, Christ was fulfilling because he was the son of David. He was that son that was prophesied in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, where it says, for unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Mighty God, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, all of these things. And it says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it. God promised in 2 Samuel chapter 7, you can read it. God promised David a son. He said, you're going to have a son. He's going to sit on your throne forever. That did not happen in the flesh. It happened in the spirit through Christ. Christ was the son of David who sits upon the throne of God forever. And it said, he said to him, your son is going to order and establish your throne and over your kingdom to establish it with justice and judgment. From this time forth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That's Isaiah 9. Jesus fulfilled the Davidic covenant in being the son of David, and then he instituted and brought in the new covenant. That's why the Sabbath went away. And the sign of the new covenant, they say, is baptism, an outward sign. Circumcision was outward in the flesh. Sabbath keeping was outward. You could see it. It was a sign. Signs you can see. And baptism was what they gave themselves to when they came to faith in Jesus. They would go under the waters of baptism. Jesus said, let him who believes and is baptized be saved. Right? That's Mark 16. And so, so the Sabbath was on its way out. I close with Acts 10:38, because this same Jesus, I believe, is living in us to do this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That Jesus, hey, is living in you. He's living in me. Amen. And he's still going about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, if we'll let him, in us and through us, by us. Amen. He's living in us to do that. May we, like him, do that and not be like the Pharisees and say, not on the Sabbath. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the goodness of God that has chosen us that we might be sons and daughters of the Most High. Father, we thank you that you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We who were not your people are now the people of God. We who were not of the commonwealth of Israel. Oh, my God. Lord, that we had no rights and without the covenants of promise, yet now, oh God, we are yours, chosen and beloved. Father, we pray, Lord, that your glory would be manifested in our lives, that our lives, Lord, it would become clearer and clearer. May we, Lord, to us, how we're to live for your glory and express your praise. So may your word have free course in us. May it be fleshed out, over, Lord, this next week and days and months to come, O God. Lord, as the revelation of your word, O God, is realized in us by the power of the Spirit. Have your way. Father, glorify your son Jesus in us, we pray, to the glory of God. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.